Oh, so when we talk about the amnesty, football guy, he jumps in on a lot of stuff. Jeffrey won't be cut pre-June 1 because of injury, which makes entire cap number dead cap money with no savings. He was having a conversation with a few other people. People saying Horford needs to understand the head coach has no idea what he's doing. Alshon caused major issues out of the head coach's control. Brown must go. So there's that. We're broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. That's Tyler Zuli producing the show, doing a great job. My name is Devon Givens. Final hour for us here. And I do want to tell you about our health heroes. We told you about Patrick Ewing and him testing positive for COVID-19 virus. He thanked the health workers for helping him out during his tough time. So we want to tell you about the health heroes and who he's talking about. During this global pandemic, there are those on the front lines who keep our community safe. Doctors, nurses, educators, and more. They are our health heroes. Is there a health hero in your life that you would like us to recognize? Go to 975thefanatic.com right now to nominate someone special. Today's health hero is Aaron Orlando. Aaron has been in NICU, neonatal intensive care unit nurse, for over 20 years. She is a hero, not only in her family, but for hundreds of others over the years. She treats every baby as her own. Each day this week, the health hero we nominate will receive a $50 gift card from Dietz and Watson, premium meats and cheeses, artisan cheeses, that is, and your local ShopRite market. For pickup, order online at shop.shoprite.com. Our Health Heroes program is being made possible by our great friends at Pierce Phelps Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Dealers. Go to nopaybryant.com to find an expert Bryant dealer in your area who can help you make sure your air conditioning system is working properly. So once again, we thank Aaron Orlando, an NICU nurse for over 20 years, for her great work during this tough time. She is our health hero. There you go. Great one. Aaron, congratulations. Enjoy that $50 gift card.
NICU nurse is not an easy job. Mm-mm. Sick babies, that's got to be a huge toll.
Especially now.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of props to her.
Yeah. Yeah, so good work by her. Man, we have so many. I'm trying to squeeze in some of these tweets as well because we still have to answer the question that Q put out there. Well, the statement off of what Q put out there. Let me see. Let me go back a little bit. Check this out. We have a lot. I'm trying to go through these, and I had a few that I moved it, and here we go. All right, let me go with this one. This is all right. So Chris says, _Chris_F, to say who cares how much a player gets paid because it's not our money is a trash argument. Look at the signings and trades such as Chris Webber, Matt Geiger, and Andrew Bynum. Some of the reasons for the process, the rebuild. Bad long-term contract signings. Ty, you brought it up. When it comes to the money, I mean, that can go in a lot of different ways when it comes to the money.
Yeah, I think so. And what I really want to get at is when I say it's not my money, what I mean is when the owners have a set amount of money to spend, spend it all, right? If you are in case, especially if you're in contention, and especially in baseball where there's no salary cap, it's just a luxury tax. If you have X amount of dollars to spend and you think you can improve your team by spending a portion of that money in free agency, you have an obligation to go do it. I also understand his point where, you know, we are emotionally tied and quite honestly for many, many people in the city, financially tied to some of these teams because they spend their money on, you know, apparel, tickets, all that kind of stuff. I get his argument where, you know, don't spend foolishly, but spend.
Yeah, we always say spend smartly, and that's where the problems come in for Sixer fans when it when you speak of Harris and Horford. Spending properly. Wow, Rob sent this here on Twitter. Man off RM. I vote Alshon. Sixers $32 million over the cap next season, assuming it stays at 115. Al 27. Getting rid of Al just to move his contract hurts the team better. Having him as a sixth man, I don't care if the Sixers have to pay a luxury tax. And he sends us the 2021 76ers salary cap totals. And the total salaries, again, we heard in the cut that we played, $147 million. $147 million. For them. The cap, 2020 cap is 115. That could change. But as Rob pointed out, if it stays the same, this is the number that he wanted to throw out there. The actual cap max space minus $32 million. So that's what we talk about, the luxury tax coming in for Josh Harris. Not sure he wants to pay that if the team is not winning the way that they had expected them to win. Also says if they amnesty Al and move Jay Rich without taking back money, you would free up space. But is it enough to sign someone who is better than Al and Jay Rich combined? That's the question. Probably not, but it depends on who's out there, who's going to be out there, who's available, and what type of move. As you said, with Jay Rich's movement, who are you getting in return for Josh Richardson? And what does that mean for now, your overall starting lineup? What does it mean for your depth in general for the team? I'd be curious to see how that would play out if that was the case, but it's wild. People still questioning your choice of Voracek. Had to pick a flyer, and he has the worst contract. This is what Tim is saying. Yeah, he had to. Have never understood fans' disdain for Jake Chandler M. Bing. Oh, I love that, Rick. I think you sub in JVR, $7 million will never be lived up to. At least Jake produces.
Okay, so JVR is a solid option, too. I mean, $7 million is a lot of money in hockey, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go by percentage of the cap, and especially how, you know, Voracek's not old. He's 30, I think, but he's not a young man anymore. I mean, yeah. It makes sense to put him on there.
Right. T. Rear, 12, Tommy says, not really an invention, but I've been driving for Grubhub during the pandemic, and I have been making far more during the pandemic than when I was working my old job. And this was your point to the online ordering.
Sure.
Yeah. It's a great one. Jay Gridlock, inventions. Without a doubt, the iPhone or smartphone completely changed communications as we know it. Without it, Zoom and apps, period, aren't possible, as well as streaming and anywhere access to the internet. Totally agree. Also says the other invention that comes to mind is the microwave oven changed the way some people cook. Opened up the microwavable food industry. Tyler, you just saw my dinner. Can't say how convenient it is to be able to put something in a microwave and nuke it.
He's not wrong. I mean, you and I both work some off shifts, you know. Me, you, Joe Torti, Pat Egan, we all work some really off shifts. Sometimes you don't want to come home and cook dinner at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
So you throw the whatever, the pizza in the microwave, the chicken in the microwave, whatever. You know, the meals that you get.
It's fantastic.
Now they're an easy, quick way to eat. I mean, if you really wanted to, you can be in bed 20 minutes later.
Yep. All right, boom, do that. It's in the microwave for 5 minutes. You're doing whatever else you need to do. Then you get that, as you said, 20 minutes later, now you're...
And it makes me not entirely useless in the kitchen.
No, not at all. All you have to do is clean the fork. That's all you have to do.
That's what the dishwasher's for.
Oh, all right, my bad. There you go.
As minimal work as possible.
And we'll get to Q and his point about the building around these three players, but we wanted to give some attention to the tweets that we did receive throughout this show since 6 o'clock that we've neglected. I've neglected, my bad. Vero Bam on Twitter. Cutting Horford is a mistake. We are still over the cap, even without that contract. Now we're still over the cap and don't have a backup center or another starter. Cut Arrieta. That's the only guy who hasn't played on a Philly playoff team. Why are we paying a guy if he's not helping us get to the playoffs? There you go.
There's a reason they paid Arrieta. I mean, they needed something.
Deal, right?
Yeah, it was a three-year deal.
Three-year deal.
And they needed something. He got some big money up front. They needed an arm. they knew that they couldn't go into the season with Pivetta, Eflin, Velasquez, and whether it would have been, you know, you name it.
Yeah, you name it.
That's, I mean, Jared Eichhoff was probably going to be it. But that's the thing. You name it, at least with Arrieta before the injury started to pile up. And you knew that you weren't going to get Cy Young Arrieta, but if you could get a three, you got yourself a decent arm.
Yeah, yeah. Keeping him going. Ryan McLean, ND. I picked Jeffrey, but Horford is a close second, and Arrieta isn't far behind. But it's been a long time since I watched a baseball game. Well, okay. Jay Gridlock, speaking of kids, this is when we talked about the iPhone and all that. How about the iPad? How many parents teach and keep their kids occupied now using an iPad? Many.
It's actually amazing, because I was always like the super jealous adult who was like, well, I didn't have that when I was a kid, so why do these kids, you know what I mean? And now all the kids that have it are transitioning pretty seamlessly from in-class learning to at-home learning.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult if you don't have it, and it helps tremendously if you do.
Troy Jackson, 397. Last 30 years has to be high-speed internet.
It's a good one.
It makes everything else go. Got to go to the basics.
You mean you don't want to jam up your phone lines and dial into the modem?
That was tremendous.
It's the loudest sound ever invented.
Did you ever see it always goes back to Seinfeld. The Seinfeld episode where Kramer orders, I think he was ordering menus, and they were coming from all over the country, and they were being sent, you know, to a number. The number that he gave was Elaine's number. So every time the phone would ring and she would pick up her phone, it would be that noise in her ear.
That's awful.
It was hilarious. Oh, it was hilarious. Everything goes back to Seinfeld.
That would last about 20 minutes.
It was great. Joe Sabota. Bada. Siakam, Simmons, Tatum. But I'm hopeful Ben Sealing is the highest. Kev Carroll, 88. Arrieta is done after the season, so his money wouldn't cripple you for that long. Longer deals is what he's saying, basically, here. Okay, cool. Well, we caught up with, not caught up, but we jumped in with a lot of folks here on Twitter. They contributed to the show, 610-632-0975. All right, so Q asked, or Q made the statement before we went to our last break, and he said Simmons would be the one that he would build around of the three, the first one he would build around of the three. But is it easy to build around Simmons because of Brown decided to go that way because he's the point guard? Does that mean all other 29 teams in the NBA will go with Ben Simmons as a point guard? So are you building around him as a point guard, or are you building around him as a basketball player and you just decide, let me go with shooting here, shooters all over the place, that type of thing? Because I think that is important here. If you're talking about building around Siakam, what are you getting? Well, he has a set position as a forward, as a wing player, pardon me, as a wing player, but can defend 1-5, can handle the ball, can post, can shoot, can defend. All of those things he can do, he is a wingman. The same with Jason Tatum. He is a wingman. He is a scorer first, also a defender second, but he is a swingman, a wingman in today's league that is essential in the NBA. Ben Simmons, we keep saying it, he's a unique player. He's a unique fit. So I don't know, Q, that Simmons is the easiest to build around because of all those things that we just laid out.
I would bet you that the question you posed, the original one, more coaches than not are going to use Ben Simmons as a point guard.
Really?
I think so. I think the floor vision is there. I think the ball handling is there. The passing is there. That would be the spot that I think a lot of teams are going to utilize him in.
Mm.
I wonder if more teams would have him as a kind of a DHO point guard and then have him get down to that dunker spot a little bit quicker. But I think he would be the primary ball handler for a lot of teams.
Okay. I'm trying to think because there are many people. What separates Ben Simmons with his ability as a ball handler? It's more of the transition than it is half court. Does that make him a point guard because he can do that? Or does it make him a point guard because with his lack of shooting right now, it's best to have him as a point guard involved in the offense in that way, especially being able to initiate things from the top of the key where you can now use him in, as a screen setter as well. Someone screens for him. He now rolls as well. I mean, they don't roll. They just simply do what they do. He may kick it back to them, dribble handoffs. He's now rolling to the basket, all of that. I'm sure he is an option to take the ball out. I mean, have the ball not give Ben the ball when the ball goes through the net and you're inbounding it. Half court set though, he's a basketball player. He's not a point guard. I don't think there's a title outside of a basketball player, wing player without the shooting. I don't know that I would agree that half of the league will use him as a point guard.
Well, and again, the reason that I kind of put him in that point guard role for a lot of coaches is what is more beneficial to having Ben Simmons on the floor? Ben Simmons as a distributor or Ben Simmons having the ball in kind of that no man's land? Because we know what he can do in the dunker spot, right? We know what he can do around the net. And we also know that he's very unlikely to shoot a three-pointer. So that no man's land, that perimeter two, the baseline to that area, is he useful at all as a four with his back to the basket from there?
Yeah.
Or at the elbow extended?
I think he has a very good post game. Sometimes he gets in his own head in his post game. As good as his footwork is, he gets into his own head because he then allows himself to have the point guard mentality and pass the ball out when there are scoring opportunities, when he has a distinct advantage over his defender and he can do some work on the low block with over either shoulder. With his jump hook, he can do a lot of different things. He is his own worst enemy. It's him. It's him. It's a problem for a lot of people. It's him. We keep saying it. Well, I keep saying it. For me, it is him. He gets in his own way when it comes to this stuff here with Ben Simmons. So, Q, once again, to answer or to follow up on your point, Ben Simmons is the easiest to build around. I think I disagree. I would probably say at this point Siakam is easier to build around because of everything that he does as well on the floor. Tatum is a scorer and a plus a solid defender. Might be number two, and Simmons three just because of the uniqueness and the questions that arise with Ben Simmons when it comes to his defense. That's all I'm saying. Suave Capo jumps right in and says, I would build around Ben as a small forward, try to get a guy like Beal or Booker to pair with him, experiment with Shake at a point guard. He'll have the benefit of playing with other guys who can control the offense like Ben being on the floor along with Richardson. Now, he's just speaking out loud when it comes to trying to acquire someone. Phoenix is not going to do that. And while Washington may look to move Bradley Beal and get a haul back, there were reports out there that the Brooklyn Nets are trying to get Bradley Beal to pair with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Man, you would build with Ben around as a small forward. I'm not saying you can't build around Ben because we have these conversations. If you had to move one, the question is often posed to people. If you had to move one between Simmons and Embiid, a lot of people choose Simmons because of the ability to now build a certain way around. But is it easy? It's easy in terms of, oh, just go get some shooting around and get some defense and have somebody else who can handle the ball with him and you're good to go. You can say the same thing about Siakam. Put shooters around him. Give him some space to operate. You can say the same about Jason Tatum as a one-on-one player, if you want to call him that. Put some shooters around him. Let him go to work. So it's a good point that Q brings up. it's an interesting topic or discussion. I don't know that he's the easiest. I say Siakam might be the easiest to build around because of his versatility overall. And Ben has versatility as well. We know that. You know, I love Ben Simmons. I'm just saying. And to this point that Q brings up, might be easiest around Siakam. 610-632-0975. We come back. We'll talk about what we heard a little bit earlier as we started the show from Adam Schefter. Not heard, but read. Carlos Hyde to the Seahawks. When last heard on Wednesday, Adam Kaplan said, and he was probably right. Well, he was right. Seahawks offered a one-year deal to Devontae Freeman in the ballpark, right around $4 million. Offered. Did not accept it. Now Carlos Hyde is with the Seattle Seahawks. He's jumping at that opportunity. What does this mean for the Philadelphia Eagles going forward? 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli, Devon Givens. Here with you until 10 on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
Oh, 929 here on The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli. Devon Givens with you until 9 o'clock, pardon me, 10 o'clock. Oh, we would have been done already here on The Fanatic. Just a programming note, once again, if you haven't heard, tomorrow I'll be on 12 to 3 tomorrow afternoon, noon to 3, as we get things started once again here on the station as we discuss some things. We don't know yet what yet, but we'll get some things in. We'll mix a few things in here as we go along. Noon to 3 tomorrow, Memorial Day weekend, of course, different, but we'll still be here, so don't worry about it. We got you covered. 610-632-0975. So Adam Schefter reported very early in the show today on Twitter. We, right around 6 o'clock, we mentioned that Adam Schefter put out there, Carlos Hyde has agreed to a contract with the Seattle Seahawks. On Wednesday, it was reported that it looked like Adam Kaplan, Adam Silver followed up with it. Not Adam Silver. Mike Silver. I'm sorry. NBA.
I'm sure Adam Silver saw it.
Yeah, he probably
talked about it.
Probably talked about it as well. My bad. Mentioned that, hey, it looks like one of the running backs, Devontae Freeman, former Atlanta Falcon, will be going, well, at least has been offered a contract from the Seattle Seahawks. Figured they would get it done. They did not. He decided to not accept the deal. Seattle said, we're not waiting. And they pivoted to another running back that I think a lot of people here would have preferred over Devontae Freeman and even LeSean McCoy, and that is Carlos Hyde. So that leaves us in one spot. What do you do? Where do you go? Where do you go? Do you decide to go with Devontae Freeman? Do you go LeSean McCoy? Do you do nothing at this point and simply run with Corey Clement behind Miles Sanders and then Boston Scott and one of the undrafted running backs that they've added?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Last month. What do you do?
I've been so miserable about this running back group for the last 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like Boston Scott. He's a nice piece. I think he fits in well here, does a lot of good stuff. He's like Darren Sproles light, and he's cheap. I also would like to believe that Miles Sanders is going to be the feature back anyway, and nothing's going to Like, he is, right? Nothing's going to stand in that way at this point, so that's okay with me. The problem is, I'm a big believer in you need to have two good running backs on any NFL team. One that's your franchise back, the other one that you can rotate through every 2 to 3 years. I thought LeGarrette Blount was a good second piece, for especially for what he did that was kind of the bulwark type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the Eagles have on their roster with the UDFAs a guy that can be a number two. The last guy that I thought could be a legitimate number two just got signed. To not draft one at all is concerning. To not sign one at all is concerning, other than Corey Clement.
Yeah.
The last two that are left of the big tier names, I don't want anything to do with. Like, I don't want anything to do with Devontae Freeman, and I want less to do with LeSean McCoy.
Well, I agree with that one, where you want less to do with LeSean McCoy. He's probably done. Wasn't even active for the Super Bowl, and Andy Reid loves LeSean McCoy.
Right.
What's the problem? And it's that he's 32 and he's probably done. And that's just how it goes.
I think the tread's gone at that point.
That's what happens with running backs in the NFL. It just happens. So, this is going to be an interesting one. Carlos Hyde would have been a nice addition. Would have been a nice addition to have along with, Miles Sanders. So, right now, Tyler, I think you just leave well enough alone. That's what you do.
So you're good.
Although
looking.
I am more, the Freeman thing is interesting because he did have nice numbers. Did you see his numbers from last year?
They're not awful.
They're not bad.
I just don't think
after the injury season that he had in 2018, 2019, nice bounce back. The team stunk. So it was what it was. But now we're looking at Sanders getting 20 plus touches a game. Freeman comes in. I think he had 50 plus receptions last year. So, I mean, that's not bad. It's not a bad thing at all. It depends on the money. If he's already balking at the $4 million that they were throwing, potentially, you know, reported, $4 million that they were throwing from Kaplan and Silver, the Eagles can't do that. The Eagles really only need to be getting thrown a minimum at someone right now. That's it.
So I don't think you get them for a minimum.
No.
I don't think you get anything for a minimum at this point. When you look at Devontae Freeman, too, I know that the Falcons have Todd Gurley now, and that was probably priority number one, I'd assume. But prior to that, he was a free agent before they went and got Todd Gurley.
Mm-hmm.
So even with Gurley in the back of their minds is probably the guy they want to target, what's the issue with Devontae Freeman that he is not only was let go by his team, yeah, who gave him a big deal,
yeah,
but was also allowed to be let go in free agency for, at the time, Brian Hill and Ito Smith and Quadri Allison and all of those guys. And third, what is going on with him that not just the Eagles haven't moved in on him yet, not the Seahawks haven't moved in on him yet, no other team has moved in on him.
Mm-hmm.
So what's wrong with him?
What is wrong with him?
That scares me.
Is it the money?
I mean, $4 million's a lot for a backup, but it's not crippling.
It's not, but do you want to commit that type of money?
And if he wasn't getting $4 million from the Seahawks, if that wasn't true, or he didn't sign there, I don't think any other team's going to offer him $4 million. So you're probably looking at three or maybe even two.
Yeah. LeSean McCoy would take the minimum. If you gave it
LeSean
to him.
McCoy would have to pay the Eagles to play for them.
He would, but you know he would do it.
Oh, for sure.
I just want to come home.
He loves Philly.
Yeah, yes, indeed.
But is he better at this point? And I know we don't have a lot of knowledge to go off of. But is he better at this point than any of Corey Clement or Adrian Killings or the big bowling ball running back from Cincinnati? The other free UDFA.
Yeah, yeah, whatever.
Because Killings is quick
at this point,
and that guy's massive.
Yes. So I say at this point you just move on. It's what it is, right? I mean, what are you to do? You just move on now. It's done. You can't give $4 million to Devontae Freeman.
Michael Warren.
Michael Warren.
Cincinnati
okay.
running back.
They don't need to commit that type of money to... what's his name? Devontae Freeman. They don't.
Totally agree.
No. It's fine. Carlos Hyde would have been nice, though.
What's the number for you for Devontae Freeman? What would be the...
2.5
2.5
That would be my highest.
Well, and
I might stretch it 3
And the thing
incentives
you...
Incentives and all.
Okay, that's probably pretty fair. The thing you just said with Carlos Hyde, the one that I look at is outside of the 1 year in Cleveland and the like 9 or 10 games in Houston when Lamar Miller went down, he's never really had a workhorse season. I think that he has a lot left to give than Devontae Freeman does.
And he's playing with someone who's going to get 20 plus touches. It's his team. It's his backfield. So pardon me. It's his backfield. He's the number one. Everyone else is playing off of it. You get yours. And we've seen where you can get yours. We've seen where you can share the rock. We saw what they did with Ajayi and Blunt. You can share the three-headed monster with B-West, Deuce Staley, and Carell Buckhalter. It's done. That's today's NFL anyway.
And by the way, apologies. I said Cleveland. I should have said San Francisco. Was the big year that Carlos
had. I mean, when he had the big year. Yeah. And that's when he was good. He's still decent. I don't mind him at all. But it's done now. Would have been nice.
It's going to be a nice 1-2 punch with him and Carson.
Yeah. How injured is he?
Chris Carson?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I'm going to take a look for you.
Wasn't it like the hip or something? I don't remember. I'm guessing. So you can do that because now I'm just throwing stuff out there. But no injury is good. But some you can say, all right, he'll be fine. He'll be back. They were really worried. They are still worried. That's why they went out and got the running back that they did in Carlos Hyde and talked to Devontae Freeman because they needed the help. They draft someone as well, but I mean, they needed the help. So there was a reason why. It's a serious injury with Chris Carson, correct?
So
and then Penny
cracked,
was hurt as
cracked
well.
His hip.
I thought it was a hip.
Yep. So the GM was on was out in Seattle on a radio show. Expects him to be ready to play, but it is a very serious injury.
Mm-hmm. Yep. See the hip. You know how that goes. No. And be careful. We'll get to a couple more tweets that jumped in last minute with us. We have on the text board, another cousin hit me up with his ranking of the three players, Simmons, Siakam, and Tatum. So that will close out our show here tonight. On the other side, final segment, Tyler Zuli producing. I'm Devon Givens. This is 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
.975 The Fanatic.
.945 here on The Fanatic. It's been a fun night. Amnesty and people. I mean, we don't want anybody. They're going to get jobs. We're just saying if this is a possibility. That they, you know, it would look into the 76ers and what they could potentially do with Al Horford or someone else. So,
well, even if they're not, they're still getting paid. The amnesty still pays them.
Definitely getting paid. It's just a matter of the salary, I mean, the cap situation for them going forward. That's all. And, you know, so, hey, I mean... Just an idea. It could happen once the league returns. And if that happens for the 76ers, we'll revisit it again. As soon as it's announced that it's actually going to happen, if it happens, we would definitely be all over that. We would definitely be all over that. 610-632-0975. As far as my cousin, my other cousin jumping in, same as the first cousin, Siakam, Tatum, Simmons, in that order. Again, no one's wrong. No one's wrong. Before all of this would have started, when guys really started to play, it would probably be Simmons, Tatum, Siakam, because Siakam was more of an unknown. He was fourth wheel on that Toronto squad. With Simmons being a franchise player, Tatum being a franchise level player for the Boston Celtics, Siakam still finding his way, navigating through that really good roster led by Kawhi, Kyle, and even bringing in Marc Gasol and what he has with his game overall, Siakam you would look at as being that third guy. And right now, we got a lot of Siakam in front of Simmons. And if, once again, no one is wrong. No one is wrong. 610-632-0975. Dan Schwartz, 20, jumps in with us. Ty and says, where does a mature Thibault with an expanded offensive game fall? Do you see him as always being a role player, or do you think he can reach Tyler Zuli's good level? I love his defense. This is Dan here on Twitter. So, Ty, your good level.
Yep.
Let me break it down first. Let me go first. Because with Matisse Thybulle, I don't know. Because I don't know, Dan and Ty, how high his offensive game can expand. I don't know what. So for me to be that good level, he has to be able to put the ball on the floor better than he can right now. Defensively, very good. Not elite yet. Very good. Catch and shoot, still a question. Still a question. Can he create his own shot in this league to reach that good level when we speak about Matisse Thybulle? Yes, he can be a good player, but a lot of that is going to be because he is going to be, to our point, a great defender in the league and a much better spot-up shooter playing off of Embiid and Simmons. The next step will be putting the ball on the floor and getting to the rack better. We saw glimpses of it, so there's a chance that it's there and it can improve, but right now, I think there's a lot to it, Dan, where he has to reach in order to be that good level. But can he be Tony Allen like with his defense, where you can impact that way? If you're Tony Allen with his place on that Memphis Grizzlies team, led by Marc Gasol and Mike Conley, and then you have Zach Randolph, Tony Allen being the fourth guy, can you have that level of impact and be an all-defensive player? Are you good? Yes, because what you do is really, really good. So, yeah, Tony Allen can put the ball on the floor at Oklahoma State. He could put the ball on the floor a little bit as a rookie and a young player with the Boston Celtics before he went on to Memphis and got a nice deal. He just accepted and allowed himself to become, no, we're going to call it for what it is. He was an elite defender for Memphis Grizzlies for years. For years. Okay? Can Matisse Thybulle turn into an elite defender for years? Well, we are saying he is on that good level for the 76ers alongside Simmons and Embiid. And we're talking about then three all-NBA defensive players on the team. That would now translate, Dan, to that good level, if I'm speaking the right way, the right language of Tyler Zuli's good.
Yeah, I think you've pretty much hit it right on the head there. The level to get to great, so the gap between good and great to elite, the gap between good to great is pretty large. The gap between great and elite is not as big. The reason being is because I think that the amount of good players in the NBA is pretty high. Most players are good, I think. Because I think average is good by the fact that they're an NBA player. I think Matisse Thybulle could definitely be a good player should he develop one of those traits that you just mentioned. I don't even think it needs to be all of them. As long as he is that good, great defender and then can be good at something else, whether it be spot-up shooting or whether it be getting to the hoop and scoring that way, whatever way it might be, if he can pick that up plus the great to elite defense, then yeah, I think he definitely could be good.
Yeah, and we've already seen glimpses, and Boston people, they do wish they had him on their team. And man, if Matisse Thybulle was on that Boston team, defensively, like Tony Allen with Jason Tatum and already a very good defender, and Jaylen Brown on the wings. You're talking about wings there. When you take Gordon Hayward out the game and you have Thybulle, Tatum, Brown on the floor. Whew, Marcus Smart in for Kemba Walker. The offense is still going to be there with Tatum and Brown. Tatum is already a decent defender. Brown is a good defender. Matisse Thybulle already on the verge of being a good defender, with Marcus Smart being a very, very good defender as an all-league defender. Man, could you imagine that lineup? Well, he's not there, and you know, we can be happy that he is here. You just hope that he develops and turns into that type of player that we're talking about. Will Parks was working out with Malcolm Jenkins.
Saw that.
You saw this? Yeah, I'm seeing John Clark, NBC, Jay Clark, NBCS, working out with Will Park. And I saw Will Park kind of respond to it, I think. Something like, you got like early access or something, but maybe that wasn't supposed to be out. I don't know. Somebody sent you some exclusive content. Malcolm definitely giving game, though. Always a student.
Gotta check this out.
Yeah, Will Parks is interesting on Twitter, stuff he says. But we'll see what he does. But hey, why not? Why not work with that man?
The closer we get to the season and the more and more kind of tape that I watch on this guy and
Parks
and catch up on how he played a little bit in Denver, the more excited I am to watch him play.
Yeah.
Because I think he's going to be a guy you legitimately might see him line up at seven different positions this year. You know, and obviously meaning
linebacker,
you know, slot and
rusher,
outside. Right, exactly.
He's going to be everywhere.
The only places I don't anticipate him playing is defensive tackle and probably middle linebacker.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know if he's going to be great at anything, but if he's good at all of them, that is a huge piece for a cheap contract.
Who's your middle linebacker right now?
TJ Edwards.
And there's nothing against TJ Edwards, because I don't think I know enough to say that he can't do it, but man. All right.
Much like we have the conversation about Jason Peters potentially coming back, I'm still not convinced that week one, Nigel Bradham is not the starting middle linebacker.
Still?
I still think so.
Still out there. Yeah. You and Pat feel the same way, especially about Jason Peters for Pat Egan.
Yeah, I think Bradham might be back too.
Ooh.
1 year deal.
Philly Ream, my man Ream with a great tweet. A bowl of cereal is undefeated. He is absolutely right. Undefeated.
There's not one bowl of cereal you wouldn't eat?
No, I'm just saying. A bowl of cereal any time of the day is undefeated.
Oh, yeah. You can eat cereal literally anytime.
Any time of the day. You're all good. Bowl of cereal.
As long as you're not a crazy person that puts the milk in first.
No, I don't do that.
That's weird.
No, I don't do that. But what I did do, especially with the kids, and I still do it myself, was don't overdo it with the milk. When you're done, you still have half a bowl of milk, and now you don't want to drink it.
See,
you
didn't want soggy cereal.
So I won't fill it all the way up. I'll fill it like just so enough when you start to mix the cereal around that it starts to touch the milk. Of course, now everything is, you still have some ones untouched where you're crunchy when you pick it up, but there's a nice mixture. So if I want to go back and I still have a little bit of milk in there, I can now add to it. Or if I eat all the cereal and there's some milk left, I can add more cereal to it. My kids, man, they fill it up. They fill it up with the cereal already in there, fill up the milk. Next thing I know, there's a half a bowl of
They don't drink the milk?
No.
See, that was like a staple guarantee at my house.
Then they would drive me crazy because they would overdo it with the cereal and not finish it because it would get soggy quick and they don't want it anymore. It's like, all right, well, I've taught you how to do this. What are you doing? Yes, that's it. But Todd, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate it. Be back tomorrow with D-Line. I'm 3 to 7. I'll be back here at noon to 3 on Saturday afternoon tomorrow for your Memorial Day.
Yep,
Saturday.
You and Pat.
So it's going to be fun. Actually, Pat, no. I think it's Dylan.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah,
I think it's Dylan. So I'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Have a great night. We'll catch up with you tomorrow right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.